top of the morning to your pizza. You smoothie me, ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Praise God. Good morning, Tanline. Thank you, Jesus.
Why I'm living. everybody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify if you know he's awesome. Say it.
I bind up witchcraft, deception in the name of Jesus. I bind up witchcraft intent, witchcraft suspicion in the name of Jesus. I bind up the works, the thoughts, the deeds, the acts, and every evil intention of witchcraft this morning in the name of Jesus. Father God, stop, destroy, and bring to zero all their crafts. Every spirit unloosed through divination, necromancy, and every unclean demon, in the name of Jesus, I bind you up in chains and fetters of iron, covered with a blood covering of the blood of Jesus. I command your work, your words, and your power to dissipate and go to zero. In the name of Jesus. Good morning, Apostle Jean. I got your mic open, I think I do. If you say hello, I know. I guess I don't. I wanted you to tell. Let me see here. I'm going to close it back. I thought I had Apostle Jean's mic open. I really wanted her to tell you what happened. I mean, this. I love this headline because it's so full of miracles. And miracles are happening every day in all kind of ways. Let me see if I had the wrong. It's not me. I can call in now. Okay, great. Okay. I shut that back down then. I don't know who I opened up thinking it was Apostle Gene. Brothers and sisters, God is on the move. God, don't be left behind. Whatever you do, don't miss out on this move of God that's taking place right now. Tomorrow, I guess I'm going to do something called. I'm gonna talk to you in a little bit. I went digging. Oh, here she is, I think. Apostle Gina, this you. I got your mic open.
Good morning.
Good morning. You want to say whatever you want to say, but I want you to tell that testimony. But if you got something else to say, say whatever God got for you to say, whatever.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to give, I guess, the testimony of what happened after on our way home from prayer from Dalton. I had my crew with me, Elder Olisa, and I had my daughter, Grace, in the car. So we were all driving back to to Maryland. On the journey, we left out about 6:30. That's the time we normally pull out. But at 9:30, that's coffee time. 9 o'clock on the road, that's coffee time. So we stopped in Tennessee, heading back north to the Starbucks. We've been to this particular Starbucks before, so we pull in, it's raining, and it's not crowded, so we pull into the spot and go in, get our coffee, use the restroom, and we get ready to go back on the road. So we get back into the car, and everyone's buckled in, and Olisa says, I was about to pull out, back up, and Olisa said, Gene, the window or stop. So I looked to my left, to my, you know, my window, and I rolled down the window. There's this gentleman there, maybe in his 60s, handsome, neatly dressed, had a cap on, and it was raining, and he had an umbrella, but it wasn't open. It was wrapped up, and he was just holding it. And I thought that was odd, actually did thought that was odd because it was raining, but he had a cap on. And he said, ma'am, he says, I'm really embarrassed. Nice man, spoken, meek. And he said, I'm embarrassed to ask you this. And then he went on to tell me his story shortly. He said, my daughter and I, we relocated to this area, and we've been doing day work with this agency, but the past few days, he said, we haven't had any work because of the weather. And he said, ma'am, I'm so embarrassed. He kept saying, I'm so embarrassed. He said, we're like $28 short to pay our room for the night. And he said, the days in, they wouldn't accept the shortage. And he said, miss, he said, and he kept saying, I'm embarrassed. And I wanted to just stop him because I started saying, no worries, sir, no problem. But I just let him talk. And as he was talking, I just went into my wallet. I think I had $25 I was able to come up with. And Olisa had $20. So I handed out the window to the man, and he had the most beautiful blue eyes. So actually, as he was telling the story, I'm almost gazing into his eyes. They were so beautiful. So I give him the money, and he smiles. I could see when he saw the amount, he was just, his eyes even lit up more. So I gave him the money, and he said, miss, He said, thank you, thank you. He said, may God bless you. May God bless you. He said, God bless you, man. But this is what stood out when he was blessing us for giving him the money. Then he said, may God bless you in the name of the Lord. For some reason, that kind of struck me when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of put his head down and held the money in the umbrella, and I guess he turned around to walk away. And then I put the car in reverse to back up out of the spot. But as I put the car in reverse, I went to look to my left to make sure he was clear, you know. So when I pivot out of the spot, I wouldn't, you know, he was clear. The car wouldn't hit him or anything like that. The man was gone. I mean, totally gone, not walking in the distance or anything. He was gone. I put the car back up. I said, oh, Lisa, where did that guy go? I said, you see him? He said, no. I said, oh, Lisa, that was an angel. I said, wait a minute. So she's looking. My daughter, Grace, is looking. I'm looking around for this man. Nowhere. It was like he says, whoosh, gone. I said, oh, Lisa, that was an angel. That was an angel. Even Grace was looking. So I back out to the spot. And we pull around to, I'm still looking for this guy because, you know, someone walking, you can see them, maybe. It was a split second. There's no way that this man could have gotten out of our view or either. He would have to run. There was no trace of him.
Mm. I love it.
So this thing would not leave me. I'm driving. So we get back on the road. This thing is in my spirit. I'm like, God. And then maybe another hour or two into the drive, Genesis came down into my spirit. Because I'm like, what, $28? That stood out to me. So Genesis mm-hmm. hit, boom. So I get my phone. And I go on YouTube to play Genesis 28 because I'm driving. And Genesis 28 talks about the encounter with the open heaven with Jacob at Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, come on. I'm like, Lord. Lord. And we just left Dalton where there's an open heaven.
Yeah.
And this thing, on the way home, this thing is just messing with me. It's in my spirit. I'm like, God. And it tells about, it's a chapter about blessing. It's a chapter about having access with heaven.
Apostle Jean, Jessica just posted all of Genesis 28. Over there in the chat room.
Wow. Yes. So, yes, this encounter, it was super. The whole is supernatural. Just to set off the new year, we encountered the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know that this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Of what God is going to do. For God to manifest heaven, to mm-hmm. send. And you know what? The enemy tried to mess with my. No, it could have been my natural thinking. You know, tried to kick in like hours late. Oh, he got into a car or something like that. I said, You're not going to let this. I had to talk myself down. You're mm-hmm. not going to mess this up. This is God.
Mm-hmm.
He manifested himself. We had a good time with prayer. I said, he has manifested himself.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Eric, the man's spirit was so unique. It was like so soft-spoken, meek.
Mm-hmm.
As he was talking, you know, normally I'm a giver anyway. I love to give. That's one of my gifts. I love giving.
Mm-hmm.
I started to tell sir, no, don't have to tell me anything else. I just went for my wallet, and I just let him talk. I was about to stop him, but I just let him go ahead and talk because I was trapped in his eyes. I was just trapped in this man's eyes. They were so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They were clear blue.
Mm. Mm.
Clear blue.
Just like the Bible describes Jesus as.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what does blue stand for biblically? I think it's
service.
Okay,
stand for service.
Wow.
Blue, the priest's garments are blue at the hem. Of the priest's garments where the pomegranate thing is blue.
Wow.
Blue. And then we could run a reference on blue, but it talks about Jesus' eyes being blue. That's you know, and it talks about many places talks about the depth of Jesus' eyes, his eyes. Now they say that this is the year of the mouth. M-O-U-T-H, the mouth of God. But I'm going with the mouth and the eyes first. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jessica posted that number 1538, and that they put the fringe of the borders, a ribbon of blue, on the priest's garment.
Okay, I see it.
Uh-huh. So blue is indicative of service unto God. Service unto God. Blue.
That was a wonderful encounter. Wonderful.
Yes, Christian.
Wonderful.
The year of the eyes and the mouth.
And the mouth, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But see, we don't have to wonder about it because you weren't looking for no manifestation of nothing. You was just driving home.
Yes.
And that's how God does it. And then after I talked to you, I kept that thing in my mind. And the Holy Spirit said, it's a sign of promises revealed, promises fulfilled, and God revealing.
Amen.
Promises revealed, promises fulfilled, and God revealing. And I wrote it down on a piece of paper so I wouldn't forget it. That's what he said to me about your encounter. It's a sign. Remember he told us wonders?
Yes.
Last week he said wonders.
Yes.
Wonder. That's a wonder. A wonder keep you in awe, wondering.
That's it. Because I was. It wouldn't leave me. I was like, oh, Lisa, did you know? I said, that's an angel.
Mm. Well, you know what?
Yes.
Are you crying?
No, I just have a slight cold. That's all.
You just sound so full.
I am full.
Yeah, so full. When you get that fullness on the inside that God has a way of letting us feel that full and supernatural. I can't even try to describe it to nobody, but you know.
Yes.
And you know what else I was looking at in that Genesis? It says, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on so that I can come again to my father's house in peace, Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, here's that stone again. Kelly sent me an email because Chuck Pierce gave a prophecy about stones this year. And that fracking involves stone. And when that alabaster box, well, here it is. Here it is, God confirming it again.
Yeah.
Again. And he said, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
Amen. Yeah.
So you need to be telling your members to make sure they pay their tithes, because there's a real supernatural blessing. And it was enacted by two, you and Olitha.
Olitha.
I'm saying God did it, and he gave you a witness, you, Olitha, and Grace.
Yes.
And Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And a threefold cord is not easily broken. I believe in that strongly.
Yes.
And I think it's so wonderful because Grace is only 12. She's only 12.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's
going to work on her. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Anybody?
It also dropped in my spirit. You know, after, it was real quiet that that encounter, it broke. It, like you said, it caused a breaking, a flow, and he said, "You will never want for anything."
Yes. What did God tell me? Promises revealed, promises fulfilled.
Yes, it was real soft in my spirit.
Ted Liners, please ask God to help you be a believer. If nothing, ask him, you know, God, whatever you got to do, make me a believer. Now, you got to understand, how many miles did you come down here? How many miles was it one way for y'all to come here from Baltimore?
Is it five something? I know it's a 10-hour drive.
You would drive
10 hours, yes.
10 hours. So that's 20 hours out of your life, not to mention the time you were here. But that's 20 hours, 10 hours coming, 10 hours going back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, God counts everything you do for him as a blessing for you.
Oh, 625 miles.
625. So that's 1,250. 1,250 miles round trip.
And I'll do it again, if need be.
Amen.
I did it just for prayer.
Right.
For prayer. I drove over 10 hours for prayer, to pray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it turned out being just that. I don't want to talk about it. It was so good. I don't want to make nobody jealous, see? I don't want to make them jealous, and then I don't want the witches to get mad because so much power was enacted that night. I just haven't been talking about it.
Wow.
But see, now I'm forced to when God give you an angelic encounter. So many other things happen too that God caused something to happen the devil caused something to happen. They caused Jennifer and her family to have to come together in prayer, and God gave them a wonder too in a miracle healing.
Amen.
So I'm just observing. I'm just an observer here, but I feel good in my sanctified soul. I feel great in my sanctified soul. Okay?
Yes.
Ted Liners, you know, I don't want y'all to be jealous. Now, don't be jealous. Because we're going to do that again. God just let us do it to show us how he intended to work this year.
Yes.
We're going to have those, well, I don't know what I'm going to call them yet. Do you know a good name for it?
It is something, the Lord, he'll drop something. He always does.
Yeah. I don't know what.
He's a creative God. He'll give us something good.
Yeah.
Good name.
And Bola offered to bind up all those, that you know, all the prayers in the notebook,
mm-hmm.
and mail them, to bind them.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So I'll get on that when I get back. You know, it's a couple people still here. So the last people will be leaving out today, flying out and driving out today.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Grace. Susan opened up for us and let us be with her family. With her family, and she gave me some more oil. So, in the event if you have an emergency or something, I have a couple of bottles of oil. I could mail out if you need it in an emergency. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling y'all, Tailliners, too, I got a couple of bottles. I ain't got that many. Okay? They don't give them out like they used to. But I do have a couple of bottles in case you have an emergency need for healing, somebody dying, need to be resurrected or something. I give God all the praise. I give God all the glory. I give God all the honor. And I really thank those of you that came for honoring what the Lord said do. And we did it. We prayed all night long. We were giving God glory and honor all night long. So just what we said, we did it. And the only reason I didn't put it on the YouTube or the Spreaker or the Blog Talk is because I want the witches to wonder what I'm doing in the name of Jesus. Because they don't know no more. It'll never be open again for them to send the hosts of hell. But if they can send them, they can send the hosts. We can handle them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we will defeat them, whoever, whatever, however, they will be defeated. So they ain't going to be too quick to come. Not now. Not now. Because when you get that many believers in a room at one time, on one accord, then God, what did he do? He revealed to an angel, I know I heard you.
Amen.
I know where you were. I know where you were, so I knew how to catch you on your way back home. I know where to catch you on your way back home. And then he kept on working with those of us that were still here, because we've been magnifying them all day yesterday, because I thought you were still here. I see. But God knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he especially knows what we open up for him to know. He knows it even better. Even better. And Tailliners, listen. You got to make a move. You got to make a move. Now, whatever that move is, I'm not saying move out your house. I'm just saying a step of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever God tells you to do, I'm telling you like Mary told Jesus, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a blessing in it that you cannot even imagine in the natural, because our God is above the natural, way above. So thank you, Apostle Jean. Thank you for sharing. Brothers and sisters,
thank you for the opportunity.
I love you. I'm going to take this opportunity. I found the article, that I was looking, that I told you about. I found one, and I'm gonna read it real quick. It ain't that many pages. I did it in a little booklet form because I generally like for people to know about the breath. So yesterday I said, I talked about, you know, conversation with the devil. And so then I found the breath. I titled it, this thing, Breath, Spirit, and the Demonic. Breath, Spirit, and the Demonic. I'm just going to read it. And you'll have it here. You can download it. Breath, Spirit, and the Demonic. There are two things which demons lust after because they do not have it within themselves. And that is the life in the blood and the life in the breath, which is what gave life to the blood in the first place. When a person dies, their body disintegrates in the ground or is burned to ashes, and their spirit departs from them. Psalm 146:4 says, remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit, Ruach, to Elohim, God, who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12:6-7. The word spirit here translates the Hebrew Ruach, which means breath. This is the life force which God breathed into the first man, Adam, thus bringing life to the body previously fashioned out of earthly materials. It is the equivalent of the Greek pneuma, from which we get such words in English as pneumatic and pneumonia. Though both words have extended meanings that go beyond the sense of breath, their root meaning is always breath or wind. To convey the essence of this truth, we read of Jesus in a post-resurrection manifestation conferring the Holy Spirit in a most interesting way. And when he had said this, he breathed on Euthuseo in the Greek, them, and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That would be found in John 22:23. In English, we have rendered the Hebrew Ruach HaKodesh and the Greek Pneuma Hageon as Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. But a much more accurate rendition would be Holy Breath, which is why Jesus breathed on his disciples rather than confer it by the laying on of hands, which is the way we confirm charismatic people, which is the way we confirm as charismatic people. This was done moreover after Jesus was resurrected and glorified. The same breath that Yahweh Elohim, the Godhead, including the pre-incarnate Yeshua Jesus, breathed on the body of Adam, giving him physical life, blood, and breath, is that which the resurrected Jesus breathed on his disciples, giving their spirits eternal life. Since spiritual breath is the death note to demons, they fear it like nothing else. What demons are after is soulless realm power, which is why all their violent rituals have as their chief purpose to get their victims to expire this valuable power, which they so desperately need to live and be empowered by. The breath which the resurrected Jesus breathed on his disciples is not the same as the ordinary breath of unsaved mortals, human beings. Neither is the breath of those filled with the Spirit of God, which also empowers their literal breath. During deliverance of a victim from demonic influence, demons will commonly restrict their breath so that he or she feels as though they are suffocating or choking. This is not usually to kill them, but to frighten them into not being delivered. How the demons do this is not important at this stage. What is important is that breath is the element that is being denied the victim. This breath does not just consist of oxygen. Moreover, there have been times when a victim has been afflicted by a demon and he or she cannot breathe, but has not yet taken the decision to yield him or herself to Jesus. When this happens during deliverance, we administer a sort of breath, a spiritual breath resuscitation, provided this has not, however, been merely to provide oxygen to the victim's lungs. Listen, maybe you better get this. Every believer who possesses God's own Holy Spirit has what may be termed charged breath. Charged not electrically, but spiritually. You see, once this charged air is forced into the lungs, it not only provides vital oxygen for natural respiration, but also agitates the demons into frenzy because they hate the pure Spirit of God. The reaction is similar to a spirit-filled minister laying hands on a demonized victim. It makes the demon squirm because of the presence of God's Spirit, which, as I have remarked upon already, can be passed through human contact just as demons can. Bringing a victim to Christ and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is therefore of the utmost importance. It's not a pleasant thing to have your breath denied, and demons know this. It makes people panic because they are afraid to die. I have experienced demons blocking of the breath of victims hundreds of times, and not once has the victim died. When this kind of oppression is brought to bear, courage is essential, but this is never enough if the victim refuses to yield his or her heart to Jesus. A deliverance minister can bind the demons causing pneumatic oppression to briefly cease, but unless the grounds for their being there in the first place are removed, they will simply oppress again later. That is why victims are so often convinced that deliverance is impossible and that the demons are all powerful. Both of these beliefs are founded in pure lies, but which seem to be true when you honestly believe your life is about to be snuffed out. Another thing which surprises victims to learn is that demons are spirits in the sense in which we use the words ruach and pneuma, Matthew 8:16. like us, they are spirits, but unlike us, they have no physical bodies. It is our bodies that they parasitize. These spirits are not merely breath or an invisible force, but are personalities too. Their bodies are spiritual like ours and can wander the spiritual and astral dimensions. They have form even though they are able to shapeshift and appear in different ways. People sufficiently demonized are known to utilize this power to shift the shape of their physical bodies too. I personally know of instances where those involved in voodoo are able to temporarily change their human form into that of an animal. Our Dracula, vampire, and werewolf legends stem from those such practices. Fantastic though it may sound to those not familiar with dark powers, they are nevertheless true, though without all the Hollywood embellishments. Demons are spirit beings without physical bodies, and we are spirit beings with physical bodies. One day, in the resurrection, our spirits and bodies will be inseparably connected by the resurrection power of Jesus. The demons, however, will remain spirits and without human hosts on which they rely for their life. In addition to being spirit beings, get this, they also breathe, only not physical air as we do. There is a corresponding breathing on the psychic and spiritual planes too. This I have personally experienced. Get this. Put this in that chat room. Demons are able to breathe our soulish energy when we release it through unlawful practices or if it is forced out of people by ritual abuse. When a person is afraid, they literally leak this substance out and provide the demons with a free meal. The intense competition between demons and demonic hierarchies is not just because of power lust, but also because there is a limited supply of psychic food for them. For them, it is the laws of the jungle, survive or die. Occultists will tell you that air passing through human beings becomes energetically charged, and they're right. Exhaled air, which to the physical sense is but harmful carbon dioxide, is nevertheless charged with energy. The Hindus call this prana. It is not, however, Holy Spirit, which is a quality that the breath of God's own children possess. The holy breath the demons so loathe. When I have been ill with witchcraft respiratory problems and have experienced breathing difficulties, I have often petitioned God's own Holy Spirit to animate my breath and my lungs by asking Holy Spirit to breathe on me. And I have experienced relief. But the breath of God can do much more than that. The Bible says over there in Ezekiel 37, 9 and 10, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God Elohim, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Ezekiel 39 again, 9 and 10. Never undervalue divine breath. The scriptures have many references to it, which are worth studying. Daniel said to a pagan king, the Elohim God, who holds your breath in his hands and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. Humans, with evil spirits in particular, should remember that their breath is in the hands of God, and he can remove it whenever he chooses. It is not their own. Their lives now and eternity are in his hands and always have been. Demons know all about breath. Satanists know how, for instance, to transfer the spirits of their dead followers along with all their demons from one demonized person to another. That's right. The dead are able to live in the living and temporarily escape punishment by God's Malachim, Yahweh's angels. One satanic ritual involves the transfer of the last breath of the dying Satanist to another SRA victim, for example, along with all the other dead human spirits in him or her. This involves placing the mouth of the victim over the dying person and then literally sucking the life force out of him or her, a kind of spiritual vampirism. With the last breath, the dying person's own spirit is transferred to the victim, along with all his or her demons and all his or her ancestral familiar spirits and unclean spirits, if they have been transferred to him or her in that manner. SRA victims can be specially and specifically prepared to contain all their ancestors' spirits, familiar spirits, and unclean spirits, and sometimes thousands of years if they are in or from a satanic bloodline. This is how each generation becomes more powerful and more evil than the next one, because of all the evil powers that are contained and are in this way inherited. In one person, say, I am currently ministering to, but you know, in one person I am currently ministering to, ancestors, familiar spirits are present within her from over 600 years ago, when her ancestor made the decision to serve Satan with the first human sacrifice or offering. Some altars within this victim speak of being empowered with psychic gifts by ancestors which are within her physical body. When the demonized altar tried to read me, however, she was met with an impenetrable veil. It was the first time she had ever seen the blood covering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have encountered this phenomena elsewhere in my ministry. I know of a Native American Pentecostal who related to me how he had this strange urge to possess the breath of his dying uncle. When his uncle died, he recounted how in his spirit he acquired that last breath. He seemed to think there was nothing wrong with this and knew nothing of demons and deliverance yet. One day, however, when I was sleeping at his home, I heard him on the telephone speaking to a woman. As I listened, I saw a vision of him with a serpent tongue flickering in and out of his mouth. It was then that I discovered he was demonized and subsequently concluded that in all likelihood that his dead uncle's familiar unclean spirit was living in him together with goodness knows what else. It should come as no surprise, therefore, to discover that the Bible forbids intimate kissing except between married persons for reasons which must by now be obvious. There's a good reason for chastity. There's also there is also a reason why some prostitutes dislike kissing their clients, even though they are more than willing to demonize themselves and their clients through the act of unlawful sexual intercourse. They have this understanding that there is something rather special about mouth-to-mouth contact. If you're still not convinced, then consider what John reveals in the book of Revelation. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now here's where it is. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Revelation 13, 11 through 18. Now pause and consider this. Demonic breath here is clearly stated to be, demonic breath here is clearly stated to be able to give an inanimate object the power of speech, not by the throwing of someone's voice, ventriloquism, but from within. Demons, as all should know by now, excuse me, can inhabit inanimate objects like jewelry, stones, crystals, books, etc. This is the basis of how satanic implants work. Small objects inserted into victims' bodies, which have demons attached to them and serve as homing beacons or homing devices, so that a satanic coven can always know where their victim is. Now, demons can speak to human beings too. And they can do this in two ways. They can either speak through the victim whom they are controlling behind the scenes, or they can completely take over the body functions of the victim and speak directly. When they do this, and I've heard it many times, it is an eerie, unearthly sound that is unmistakably not human and which resonates in a peculiar way. They utilize the victim's breath for this purpose. Smoking tobacco and other narcotics, which are inhaled, also give rights to demons. which is why quitting tobacco can be so difficult. There's more to tobacco than nicotine. Brothers and sisters, make sure you protect your breathing. And when you're putting on your spiritual armor, especially if you are anywhere near pagan rituals involving the use of incense, burning, and the like. Finally, a word to those demonized victims who get oppressed by demons in their breathing. Asthma is a demonic problem which can be genetically inherited. When they want to come to Jesus for deliverance, please be aware that the demons are trying to frighten you rather than kill you. Parasites rarely kill their hosts. I have witnessed this phenomenon so many times, along with other demonic tricks caused by pain-giving demons, like spontaneous cutting, intense migraine-like headaches, and indeed, almost any and every kind of intense pain imaginable. The good news, as long as you have chosen Jesus to be your Savior, Lord, Deliverer, and King, and as long as you are calling upon Jesus in complete faith and self-yielding, He will not disappoint you, because you have this promise. Therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. All you have to do is exercise your faith, trust in God's ability, and he will completely deliver you, because he has already forgiven you, and he will heal you because he loves you. Amen. If you would like a copy of this little booklet, it's called Breath and the Demonic. You can, I'll forward it over to Jessica, and you can ask her for a copy. Breath, Spirit, and the Demonic. And I got a picture of a big lung on here. And I got another part to this too. I have to find that. I found this. I gotta search my computer and find that part for you. Amen. So I don't care what they try. And believe me, they got zillions of tricks. And you know what? You got the power. I don't care what the trick is. I don't care how it comes. But I do want you to monitor your breath. I do want you to stop having conversations with the devil. And I don't want you to breathe in that demonic air. So what am I saying? No, like the Bible says, know them that labor among you. Know no man by the flesh, but know every man by the spirit that dwell and operate in him or her. I tell you, we're going to have a good time in the Lord, because God's promises revealed are going to be promises fulfilled. But you just got to stay close to him. And I see this song here. I don't know what it sounds like, but it's like, never, ever, ever give up. Don't give up. This is Sister Erica. In the name of Jesus, coming to you from the mountaintop, Dalton, Georgia. Man, there's no God like you, Jesus. So keep pulling on me. I told you I got 80 books stuck around here. Things that I thought back then when God gave them to me, I just typed them up and saved them. If you go to Spirits Are Subject Unto You, it's 40 deliverance podcasts up there. 40. Now, I don't see this gentleman on my blog talk that I was going to pray with this morning that has cancer. And the word was that this gentleman was dying. I wanted him to hear, you know, when God tried to throw out a lifeline to you, you have to be there to grab it. You really do. You really do. So maybe I'll go out on that old song. That's an old Pentecostal song. I like it. It's so old on here that it doesn't play real loud or real good. But I'm going to go off with that. You know what the name of that song is? I got to find it. Oh, man. Help me, Jesus. Throw out the lifeline. Somebody is slipping away. Throw out the lifeline. Somebody needs Jesus today.
Throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother whom so much you see. His brother who then would dare to throw out the lifeline in peril to share.